Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Between Life and Death, a Gospel-Centered Guide to End-of-Life Medical Care by Catherine Butler. Narrated by Lisa Larson. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Introduction. Their nightmare of blood transfusions and emergency surgeries receded into memory with a whisper. As the respiratory therapist removed the tube tethering him to the ventilator, he sputtered, coughed, and squeezed his eyes shut. Then, with an oxygen mask misting his face, his eyes locked with his wife's. For the first time in 2 weeks, he spoke, his hoarse voice barely audible. "Hi, hon. We've missed you," she answered. Tears welled in her eyes, and her limbs relaxed, like taut petals unfurling. In that moment, the burden of the car accident and the havoc that had seized them for so many days seemed to slip like silk from her shoulders. The nurses and I beamed. Stories like this had drawn us to critical care. After long nights standing vigil over him, turning dials, adjusting medications, and stilling our frantic hearts, his injuries, his shattered liver, his lungs foaming with blood, no longer threatened him. The laboratory results and the ventilator settings no longer dictated his days. God had reunited husband and wife with a draft of air. While the nurses still reveled in his recovery, I walked into an adjacent room to check on another patient. My joy ebbed as I stepped through the doorway and laid eyes upon the elderly gentleman who withered into his mattress. He relied upon the same battery of machines that had rescued our car accident survivor. Yet his illness had assumed a starkly different trajectory. A massive stroke had paralyzed him and obliterated his capacity for language. Jaundice yellowed his skin to the color of turmeric. Bruises mottled his arms as blood leached into his tissues. Although a formidable array of lines and tubes pumped and churned, his organ function dwindled. He was dying. As I stood at the doorway, his wife sat beside him with her gaze distant and her hands limp in her lap. We had already spent hours poring over numbers and statistics. We had discussed prognosis, outlook, disease processes, and research. Yet during those long hours, I had failed to address the anguish twisting in her heart. "Do I have any right to make decisions about his living or dying?" she would ask, as my team and I inquired about whether to continue life support. "Isn't that God's place, not mine? I don't think my husband would want any of this, but I don't know what's right." She would search our faces for the reassurance she lacked, and when we offered none, she would place a hand over his to stroke the contours, once so familiar, that disease had bloated beyond recognition. As I stood in the doorway this time, she did not raise her eyes to greet me. In the dim light, I barely discerned the silvery lines straining her.